Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. The current series from the book of Nehemiah is called Uncomfortable. Let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to another day on the Everyday Truth Podcast with me, Kurt Skelly, and my son, Caleb. And Caleb, you've been here for a number of days now. What's wrong with those brothers and sister of yours?
Right. Well, I don't want to say anything about them because I think it would go against what we've been talking about.
Oh, that's last true. Yeah, we can't get the brethren against the brethren.
Right.
we're in a section here, friends, at the end of Nehemiah chapter 5 that it's an interesting section for this reason. Nehemiah adds it. So Nehemiah is kind of telling this story. We've been following the story in the first person of how Nehemiah had been called and how he went and all of that. But now in verses 14 through 19, Nehemiah is kind of looking back 12 years later. So this is the perspective of 12 years later. So Caleb, you're 24.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have a different perspective on the events of your life at age 12 now, at age 24?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it gives you see things more from a bird's eye view. You see the bigger picture.
That's exactly it.
And when you're there, you can only see so far. But as you get more removed from that time, you start to understand perspective from other points of view.
And there's a benefit to both. There's a benefit to an up close view. But there's also a benefit to that panoramic view.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm, in my 50s now. That's hard to believe.
Getting up there.
So to go back to my early 40s and say, my perspective has changed.
Mm-hmm.
And it ought to change. So here's Nehemiah. Look at it in verse 14, Caleb. It says, "Moreover, from the time that I was appointed to be their governor." So apparently, sometime in that initial process of rebuilding the wall, he was appointed governor, which was a high and lofty position. It was under the Persian world rule, but he was the head of the country. He got appointed president, we would say today, the governor of the land of Judah. And then it gives us the time frame from the 20th year, that was the year that he actually went with all the supplies, even onto the 2 and 30th year of Artaxerxes the king, that is 12 years. I and my brethren have not eaten the bread of the governor. So see, he said, I've served for 12 years. So the wall took a relatively short period of time to build.
Yep.
52 days. And then the much larger portion of Nehemiah's ministry was his governing of the people, his guiding them and helping them and reestablishing the economy and even the spiritual vitality of that place. And yet, sadly, when we think of Nehemiah, we think of him in terms of one project in his life.
Yeah, we do.
So for 12 years, he was the governor, and the assessment or the testimony he gave in verse 14 is interesting because he said, I didn't eat the bread of the governor. What does that mean? I just didn't eat the bread of the governor.
Hmm.
Was there a special brand of Wonder Bread that's was called Governor's Bread?
Right.
Now, what that meant was the governor received a certain allotment of food and a certain quality of food from Persia because they wanted to kind of take care of their people that were going to collect taxation for them. And these were the underlings of, that's how the world rulers worked back then. They kept these loyal governors in place that would then tax the people. And so that by taking care of them, it's really a lot like the Communist Party, to be honest with you.
Right.
Take care of the communist leaders. It doesn't make a difference if the general people are in poverty.
Yeah.
We'll take care of you. But Nehemiah said, I'm not gonna play that game.
Yeah.
So I didn't eat the bread of the governor. In other words, I did not take the perks that were legally available to me. If my people were suffering, if our folks were having a hard time, I wanted to pull my weight as well. Wow. So what a great leadership principle.
Yeah, just the humility that it took for Nehemiah. I mean, these people are going through this. We're reading the verses before. They're going through this dearth, this famine. And meanwhile, this whole time, Nehemiah could be enjoying the governor's bread.
He could be, legally.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to ask my people to do something that I'm not willing to do myself. And wow. That's such a great leadership principle. Verse 15, but the former governors, so he said that this hasn't always been the practice. The former governors that had been before me were chargeable unto the people. In other words, they had no trouble taking taxation for their personal benefit and had taken of them bread and wine beside 40 shekels of silver. Yea, even their servants bear rule over the people, but so did not I. And then here it is, Caleb, because of the fear of God.
Wow.
So last episode, we said that Nehemiah confronted those people. Remember the six C's we gave?
Yeah.
Nehemiah confronted those people, and he said, your problem, as he contextualized the issue, your problem is you're not fearing God. But what we find about Nehemiah is Nehemiah said, I live by that principle. Wow. I live by the fear of God. So I'm not going to take advantage of people. Even though the governors before me collected a nice salary and took advantage of the people and ate really well. And not only did they do that, but also their servants. We would picture a servant as a low position, but in other words, his cabinet, that governors, the senators and the House of Representatives, the people that worked for him, they all took advantage of the people. So in other words, the former government had set up kind of this oligarchical system where the haves had what they wanted and the system fed them, but the regular people were in poverty. And Nehemiah said, I am not buying into that. What a tremendous example of what a godly pastor should look like, a godly mm-hmm. dad, a mom, an effective boss at work. All of these the leaders whom we respect, it's George Washington at Valley Forge.
Yeah.
It's that. It's the Lord Jesus saying, I don't have a place to lay my head. It's the identification with one's followers. It's a great example. Watch what it goes on to say. We only have a few verses to read this episode, but it says in verse 16, yea, also I continued in the work of this wall, neither bought we any land. So he's referring all the way back to the beginning when they were still working on the wall. Neither bought we any land. All my servants were gathered thither unto the work. In other words, when the people worked, I worked. And my people got involved. We didn't just sit in the ivory tower and watch everyone else do it. Mm-hmm. You know, when there was a job to be done, when there was a work day, I was there too. When there was an all hands on deck day, I was there too. And so were my servants. We were providing the example. A leader is going to know the way, and then he's going to go the way, and then he's going to show the way.
Uh-huh.
That's a great little template for what leadership is. Know the way. You got to know where you're going. Go the way. Go there. Be an example. And then show the way. Beckon people to follow you. And that's what Nehemiah is doing. Verse 17. Moreover, there were at my table 150 of the Jews and rulers, beside those that came unto us from among the heathen that are about us. So they'd have these big, regal meals, the governor with all the accoutrements and all the fancy menu. But watch what Nehemiah says about it in verse 18. Now that which was prepared for me daily was one ox, six choice sheep. Man, I'm getting hungry right now. I could go for a good old ox steak right now. Little A1 sauce. Also, fowls were prepared for me. Bird. Once in 10 days. Let me see here. Once in 10 days, store of all sorts of wine. Yet for all this, we required not I the bread of the governor, because the bondage was heavy upon the people. Hmm. In other words, we would have these state dinners, but I didn't make the people pay for them. Didn't come out of the tax, didn't come out of the tax coffers. You know, I paid for it out of my own pocket. I mean, there's a need for some of these banquets and some of these international diplomatic meals, but I took care of them. I financed it out of my own pocket. So we're seeing this theme carried through the entire time. So what is it, Caleb, in closing, what is it that drives a man to remain humble, to seek the welfare of the people, not to take advantage of them? What is that overarching motivation that helps somebody live like this?
Yeah, there's got to be a greater purpose. There's got to be, like you said, an inward drive that just doesn't come naturally. All of these examples that he's setting is taking personal discipline and sacrifice and humility. And I think we see it in that phrase back a few verses where it says he did it for the fear of the Lord.
And we see it looking back, but I'll tell you where we also see it looking forward. Because watch what it says in our very last verse, verse 19. Think upon me, my God, for good, according to all that I have done for this people. That's a mouthful. But Nehemiah is saying, God, would you please remember me for what I'm doing? Lord, would you think upon me? I'm doing all of this realizing that you're watching. I'm doing all of this, realizing that you are the one that ultimately is rewarding. And so the God that's watching, the God that will be rewarding, is the God that we should be serving. And how do we serve God? We serve God by loving people, right?
Yeah.
So what does he say? God, you're the one watching. God, you're the one rewarding. You're the one I'm serving, and I'm serving you by loving the people you've put in my life. I'm telling you, Caleb, the more I read this guy, Nehemiah, the more I'm impressed by not a perfect man, but boy, he served a perfect God. Yeah. And we have a perfect God, a wonderful God who loves us, and he's to be reverenced. He's to be acknowledged. He's to be served. And God is not unrighteous. He watches all of it. That's why I love that passage in Ephesians 6 that says, not with eye service as men pleasers, as the servants of Christ. So not everyone's going to watch. Not everyone's going to notice. I'm going to tell you something. God always does.
Amen.
And Nehemiah says, I'm banking on that. So friends, I hope you're banking on that too. I hope you have a great day. I look forward to talking to you next episode. God bless you all.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.